All right, welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 729. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I just barely made it to the show, guys. I had to take care of my arraignment for my involvement in Gilbert Arenas' poker game.
In his poker game? Yeah. I think I need clarity on this. I don't think I caught any of what you're referring to.
Go ahead, go with Jeff.
Jeff is here as well.
No idea either.
Okay, so yeah, explain to us what is going on with this poker.
So, former NBA player and like sports commenter Gilbert Arenas, was arrested this week or arraigned. I don't know if he was actually arrested. For running a high stakes poker game out of his house.
Okay, like, that's something that they like give a shit about.
Okay, so you're free to like play poker in your house, and you're free to like play with people for money.
Yeah.
What you can't do, what you absolutely cannot do, is make money off of that game through anything other than just playing in the game.
He was taking a ring, and people
were buying in. So he was, you know, basically running a high stakes casino out of his mansion.
Who's the fucking snitch?
Right? Somebody is.
Somebody that lost money. Somebody that lost money.
Exactly. That is the risk, right? Everybody's got to be happy, and you know, someone in a poker game is always unhappy. It's just the way it is.
Absolutely. Well, that's wild. Yeah, I don't know how that did not cross my admittedly weird news feed that I have now. So, like, it's very hard to like. I don't go to like ESPN every day, so. I get like weird news stories fed to me from the internet. Played some games this week. Jeff finished Donkey Kong. Yeah. How'd that go?
It went good. I thought the ending was very, very long. Has anyone else got there yet?
No, I think I am at the point. I think I'm at the boss fight that you said where you chase somebody around.
Where you have to push them in the. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like I finished the jungle level and the ice level, and then it's like go back to here.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you do that, then they're like the president of Void Co. runs off, and like the chick's like, you should go after him. I'm like, I'm not gonna fight you because I don't get paid overtime or something like that. So I figure that's where I like saved it. So
yeah, the ending is long, dude. Like
it's a lot, or yes, it just takes a like long time.
You're fighting again, like you get in another fight, you're climbing a tower, you're doing this and this and that. And there's like points where if you die, you could be replaying like a significant chunk of that. And I struggled because it wasn't super easy. Like, it's chaotic. There's a bunch of shit everywhere. It's easy to die. And so I was like, there's a few times I was just like, fuck it, dude. Like, should I just like watch the end of the game? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's like I had my fun with it, but.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing else here except this annoying ass fucking long. Like, I looked up a video at one point of like someone doing it, and it took them. And then, you know, so this is someone like not making any mistakes and like not dying, right?
Right.
And it took them like 40 minutes. Like, that's how long the ending is.
And there's no like save points, or it's like you start it and it's go until you finish.
There are, but like, yeah, like you could, like I said, you could have to replay significant portions of it.
That sucks.
Yeah. And yeah, there was some cool like surprises at the end. I think people are like overhyped, whatever, like the big, you know, oh. I'm sure which people are like, oh, because like there are a few surprises at the end, but which are cool, especially if you're a Donkey Kong fan, there's some cool stuff for you. I mean, if you're a Mario fan too, I guess there is, but yeah, overall, really good game. I loved it. I don't see myself like running back through the levels to find everything because
I didn't
find that very fun when I was doing it. It's like, I'm sure there's a billion bananas that I have not found, but it's just kind of like, all right, I found like all, like, you know, a lot of the major ones in these levels. And so if I will probably at some point, you know, not too far in the future, play the whole game again, but I don't see myself like trying to 100% the file that I have.
Yeah, that I think I'm like, I probably was never going to 100% at any either, but there's definitely like points. There's so many bananas.
Yeah.
There's so many fossils that it just becomes like, all right, I've done a lot in this area.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to move on. Like, I don't need to do everything.
And it's like the more interesting ones I've found, you know? Like,
yeah.
But overall, hell of a game. And I hope that we get more from Nintendo this year besides this. I don't see a lot coming out that I'm like super excited for. But
yeah, I mean, I guess it's, but they still haven't announced when Metroid's coming, right? Like, if it's coming.
They did say it's this year, though, didn't they? Or am I like, is that wishful
thinking? I thought they had said 2025.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But like, we're moving into August, and they announced Pokemon for October.
Yeah.
Or November. I think it was November. So, no, maybe October.
Like, they have something for every month, right? That's like the thing.
There's like a Kirby game, maybe two Kirby games. Like,
did you see that they're doing the last Kirby game that like I think we both really liked? They're doing a Switch 2 edition.
They're adding like, and it's getting like
the DLC. I think I'll be replaying that. Like, I really liked that game.
Yeah, that game's fun. I'll probably replay that one as well. So it's like, I don't know where Metroid fits in, but there's nothing like Metroid would be the other big game.
You could slot it anywhere though, because it's like counter programming to anything else that they have. Like, you could have it come out the same month as Pokemon. I don't think they're gonna affect each other's numbers too much. So hopefully it is worrying though. Like, the end of the year should be coming into shape at this point. We're hitting August, and it's like, okay. Coming this year, you know.
And it kind of is. it kind of has come into shape for every other company, like, except Nintendo. It's like, and it's like, do they have more? Like, they said that these are the games coming, but they also said Metroid. So, like, when are they putting that one out?
Yeah, and like the third party stuff is a little spotty. Like, based on a direct today, I was like, there wasn't much there that I was like, oh yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to the direct. It's maybe not great for the Switch 2 outside of Nintendo stuff, but
which is weird. It's like, I am like desperate because like I just love the system so much. It's all I play now. Like, I haven't played a game on Xbox since, except for like Tony Hawk, and I haven't played much of that. So.
Well, now you got time.
I guess, but like, I'm gonna keep finding stuff to play on the Switch. I think, like, I've been thinking about is a Thousand Year Door after Dragon Quest.
Okay. Tony, did you get a chance to play any Bonanza?
I have not, because as Jeff had said, the ending is very long, and my kids were at the ending on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Still at the ending today.
See, they're backing me up here. It's pretty, yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I'm just, like, I'm playing a little bit of Donkey Kong almost every day, but I'm not, like, rushing through it, so I'll probably still be playing it at the end of August.
Like, yeah, you're like
a massive game.
Yeah, you're like, you have a ways to go, so.
Yeah, because there's, what, 1,600 levels, like they're like sub levels, like it's like sub level 1600 or something like that, or 16, and I'm on like sub level 800 or something, like maybe halfway. So we'll probably be talking much more about Donkey Kong over the next little bit. But Tony, you've been warring it up.
I have.
Which Total War is this? Still Attila or something else?
So I finished Attila earlier this week. It's kind of funny how hard I was talking about last time, how hard that game is. What you realize there's like a tipping point, and like you're like finally like get over the hump and start fighting back, and they realize that it was just as hard for your opponents as it was for you. And if you like had built up enough, you just run right over top of them. So like I went from like at the very edge of my seat, not being able to do anything, to just running over the entire map like really quickly. So I finished Attila. And what am I going to play next? Let's play different Total War games. So I moved on to Total War Three Kingdoms.
Okay.
Which I hadn't really played a ton of. I think I'd only played through the campaign like one time. But I picked up all the DLC and everything on Steam sale. So I figured give it another shot. It is so fun, but it is also so much more brutal than all the other Total War games. I'm like fighting battles where everyone dies. on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really different kind of Total War game, though. So like there are heroes in the game. So basically, instead of like having a general raise an army, you have like these heroes, and you bring like three heroes together, and each one comes with their own like retinue of soldiers.
Okay.
Which is a really cool mechanic, and I'm desperately hoping that there's a bunch of rumors about they're going to announce a new Total War game in December. I'm really hoping it's Medieval 3 and they bring this like retinue idea back in like the medieval era.
Mm-hmm.
With like dukes coming in with their like soldiers and everything. That'd be really super cool. Anyway, so you have these heroes, they're putting together their armies, and you go off and you fight, and the battles look like normal Total War. Except that these heroes are like gods on the field. They're like massacring the people in front of them. They can also fight like duels with the other heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of look like if you've seen the movie Troy.
Yes. Brad like, Pitt.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a point at which someone who's actually imitating Brad Pitt squares off against Leonidas, and like all the other soldiers like stand around and watch them fight. That's kind of how it is. So like I have screenshots of like my general facing off against the other general, surrounded by my soldiers who are all just like watching, which is super cool. And they'll fight until one of them dies or one of them runs away.
If you win, do you take over their army or
they'll break and they'll run.
Okay.
Like they'll get scared. Like, oh, you killed the general. We're all going to die. And they'll run away, which actually makes it easier to kill them.
It's hard to fight when you're running away.
But I have like fought some really, really tight battles, mostly because I'm trying to fight as many battles as possible. And so I'm like taking on challenges where normally I just like auto resolve and take the L.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to like see if I can win. So there's been a few battles where I've had like a farm town garrison fighting off against like an elite enemy army, and trying to come up with strategies to actually win in that situation. So like the game gives you deployables in battle too. So like it can be like an archer tower or like little spikes that will spear cavalrymen if they run through. But one of the deployables is oil. So like I'm sitting there with my little garrison and this oil field, and I put the oil like right in the middle of the town gate, and I set all my troops up like right on the other side of the gate. So the enemy just charged right through there, and I just light the entire gate on fire. I just watched them burn. And so I actually ended up winning that battle. There was another battle where I was attacking the town, and the enemy had done the same thing, except I stopped right outside of the gate and started shooting them. So they charged at me, and I lit their own oil on. I did the reverse, but
that seems like not something that would happen in a real battle. Like,
no,
where they would, let's run over our oil field to get at the enemy, and shit, they use it against us.
Yes. Oops. But I've had some crazy. I had one battle where there were like 4,000 troops. Like it was like 2,000 versus 2,000, and I fought to a standstill where I had 8 guys left, and they were the only 8 guys left on either side. I had another one earlier today, which ended up being a draw. I didn't know there were draws in Total War. This is my first one ever. The enemy was down to their last guy, who was one of the hero units.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same situation. It was like a garrison town attacked by an elite army. And I had like managed to fight them into this situation where I had one unit left. It was like 66 peasant swordsmen against this elite general who was wounded to the point where they wouldn't commit him to fight my guys. And so my troops are just standing there while the timer, there's a 1 hour timer on the battles, while the timer just ticked down. And we just stared at each other. You could speed up the clock. I didn't like sit there for an hour and wait for the
right. Battle. Yeah. You just like kind of fast forwarded it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of funny how it ended up being a draw. Although I did have a lot more guys left. I could have chanced it. I could have tried to win, but if it was my last unit, if they'd run, I'd have lost the town.
Right.
But it's fun. I've declared myself emperor, but so did 2 other people. So I have a lot of work to do.
And Three Kingdoms is China, right?
It's China around 200 CE.
So, okay.
The real period, the heroes are actual people who existed in real life.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually turn off the hero mode so that the heroes are like the generals in the other game, and they come with like little retinue units instead of being like god. And then you have to deploy them more traditionally.
Got it.
But I kind of went with the I don't know, I've never actually played Three Kingdoms the other way. I've never turned it off. It's kind of flavorful and cool. It makes it different from the other Total War games.
Yeah, it's just like something different to go with. So it's a neat mechanic to add in.
Yeah. I think I might keep going with the Total War after this too, because I've been looking at I played through Total War Pharaoh a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago.
I really didn't love that one.
I was not a fan. They actually re-released the game as Total War Pharaoh Dynasties, and they like changed all of the mechanics and made it better. So
that could be cool.
Give that a shot after I'm done conquering China.
Fun. Go yeah. Take over Egypt and Northern Africa.
Yeah. The other thing is like the game has like 2 really distinct components. There's like an Egyptian part of the campaign, and then there's like a Hittite part.
Okay.
Might try the other part this time. I've been Pharaoh. Maybe I should be something else. I don't know what the other thing is called.
Neat. Jeff, you play anything else this week?
A whole bunch of game called Dragon Quest 11.
Mm-hmm.
Echoes of an Elusive Age Definitive Edition.
That is a long title.
It is a mouthful. It's a game that I'm like liking more and more as I get further into it, and you get more party members and and abilities and new like you get like a lot of times you level up, you're getting new spells that you could use. I finally got a sword. I like stopped on a random island, which I haven't done. I haven't done a whole lot of just like, hey, go like explore, see what you find. Stopped on a random island. I found a sword that every time you attack in a battle, it does 2 attacks. So it's like, I think I'm going to be having this sword for like the rest of the game, unless I find a stronger one that does the same thing.
Yeah. That's cool.
I got hung up on a boss fight with a giant squid. I was like stuck there for like a whole day, like, banging my head against the wall, trying different things. I did a little bit of grinding and then finally found the right combination of party members. Like, so I was like changing up my party. And then I actually started using the tactics, which basically that just means like on default in your party, you only control you and you let your other party members just do their shit.
Right. Yeah.
But I switched it to like, I'm controlling everybody. So I was just like, could, you know, strategizing at every point in the battle and made it through. So that, you know, showed me that the combat could even, you know, be a little deeper than it seemed at first.
I should see if that's a, so that's how Dragon Quest III, the remake is, like, where
yeah.
I'm only controlling my player. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if there's like a setting I could flip off, because like does make it one, it can make it harder at times where like you don't have control over what
yeah, your like other if you're party members yeah, are like. If you're in a sticky situation, like you need to like, because they could do something stupid, like in like
yeah.
they usually are pretty fine, but like there could be a situation where it's like, hey, you need to heal the party and not attack this right. turn, and they don't do that, and that like full fuck you over. I'm back to like letting them do their thing because I'm kind of rolling over shit again. But it was cool that I got to a battle where I actually had to like try.
Let me figure this out and use yeah. everybody's abilities.
Yeah, and then yeah, starting to learn what the other people's abilities actually are instead of just letting them do it. Key thing that I got was like, I swapped this one guy into my party who, and then I like, you know, went through a skill tree and found he had a thing that like heals everybody for 70 HP at once. I was like, between him and another guy that does, you know, could heal. And I think 3 out of 4 of us now can resurrect party members. So like, I'm feeling pretty good, pretty good. And I do feel like I'm like deep in the game. Like if you're to the final area, but it shows that I have 30 hours played, and if you look on like how long to beat, it's like 57 hours. So I think it might be one of those things where like you think it's the end and you open up a whole, like, you know,
yeah,
like Link to the Past. Do you remember the first time playing that where you're like, you think you're heading to the end, like, you know,
yeah, and then dungeons
in, and then it's like, world. Oh yeah, it's like, you know, here's 7 more dungeons. So like, I'm expecting something like that to happen, but boy, man, like, obviously, you've played a bunch of JRPGs, so it's not going to be, like, anything, like, revelatory to you, but, like, that game is often on sale for very cheap. I think I bought it for $10, and, like, dude, like, the value for money I'm getting out of it is awesome.
I wonder if I...
It's keeping me busy. It's keeping me from buying these new games that... I might have, you know, when I need something to play after I'm done with this, I'll have stuff to play. So, yeah.
I thought I might have picked it up on Steam at some point, but I did not. So,
no. It seems like there would be a lot of achievements because, like, there are achievements that pop up while you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm playing on Switch, so, like, it doesn't count for shit, really. But I'm assuming that they are the achievements that you would get, like, on Xbox or whatever.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, maybe I'll give that a shot at some point. I think the Switch 2 or the Steam Deck is probably the proper place to play that.
Yeah.
Because you can play it in handheld and grind and stuff like that. Well, speaking of one of those games that that you're holding off on buying, you asked me about it last week, and I said, hold off. We'll talk about it this week. The new Pac-Man game, Shadow Labyrinth. I guess calling it a Pac-Man game is weird because it is, but it's not. It's like a Metroid-styled game. It takes place in this dystopian kind of like wrecked world with broken machinery and stuff lying around. Pac-Man is like a robot dude that hovers behind you and he talks too, sometimes a little too much. Do you like Hollow Knight, Jeff?
Yeah.
So that's like the closest Metroid type game that I can draw correlation to.
Is it as hard as that? I found Hollow Knight to be very hard.
It's like there are bosses in this that are they're fucking rough. Like,
okay.
And what I've heard is that like as you explore more and there's like hidden stuff, it's similar to Metroid where you'll eventually find like if you're exploring, you'll find like an extra health meter or two, mm-hmm. and extra. You see, there's this thing called ESP. It's basically just like your mana pool, and it allows you to do special attacks. So like you'll find like where that can draw out to, and you get special skills. So like as that progresses, it seems like maybe the game gets a little easier. But in the first 5-6 hours of this, and I don't know how, it seems like it could be a long game. It's tough. It's there are boss fights that are really rough. I'm enjoying it. It's neat. The Pac-Man stuff is cool. Like there'll be these areas that you have to flip a switch, and once you do that, it activates these like walls, and Pac-Man will teleport you inside of him, and then you like travel along the side of these walls. And you can attack as that, and it'll basically like really quickly shift you out, and you'll spin your sword around or whatever. But there's like weird platforming. Like imagine a Metroid level, but where you're not on the platforms, you're on the ceiling or on the floor.
Yeah.
And then there's obstacles in the way, so you have to kind of like angle yourself to jump to the other side of like where the track is. Like, so there's some neat platforming stuff in there with Pac-Man. The other platforming stuff isn't really all that difficult. Maybe it'll get harder as I assume I'll get a double jump at some point. I just got a dash, so like I can leap and then press like the dash button, and my character will kind of like move a little bit further across the screen. And you could dash through enemies and stuff as well. It's fun. It doesn't necessarily look great outside of like the stranger who you are and Pac-Man. Everything else kind of looks a little generic. One of the things I do like is that it seems everything is tied to like old Namco Bandai games. So like some of the enemies are like Dig Dug enemies, but they've been like modernized to kind of look like fit this world. They've mentioned Galaxian. So I assume at some point, like I'll come across like, you know, some sort of spaceship thing I have to fight or something like that. It's like they're tying in like the history of the arcade games into this weird world that they've created. For $30, though, maybe wait like for a nice sale.
I'm gonna get it. I'm like, I like this genre enough, and I like Pac-Man enough that I'm gonna get it. But
yeah,
I'm
not like I'm not like super excited about it. Like, and I've been playing like a bunch of other stuff.
Sure, you're not.
So.
Sure.
I wanted to see the price. No, like just now, so I like just literally like as you were talking, Googled the game.
Yeah,
one of the top things that comes up is a Reddit post that says this is like the title of the Reddit post: Shadow Labyrinth does nothing right, and that is impressive in itself.
I would say that's harsh. Like I think there it does a lot of things right. It's just it's very weird, and it's like if you've played other Metroid type games. It's not better than those. It's just weirder than those. Like everything feels fine. It's just a weird game. Like it's very, very strange. But yeah, I would wait for a sale. It'll drop. Like you'll be able to get it for $15-$20 by Thanksgiving. So
yeah, I will be playing it before the, you know.
Yeah.
Probably before it goes on sale. I'm intrigued enough, despite the like very mixed reviews.
like, I like it, and supposedly there is something where it get, like, you play a little bit more, like, actual Pac-Man, like, where one of the reviews I read said it's there's something akin to, like, Pac-Man Championship Edition 3 just, like, blended in here somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I figured it would. There would be stuff like that, too, yeah.
I have not come across that in, like, the 5-6 hours I've played, so it's, like, I would love that, right? That's what I'm looking for. Otherwise, it's a decent Metroid game. Some hard bosses and combat. You know, it's good enough. But for, like, most people, I think I would say wait. Yeah. Tony, do you play anything else this week besides Total War?
No, just a lot of Total War. So much Total War.
I've finished Assassin's Creed Shadows today.
Yes. Tell it.
It took me like 50 hours. it's a little bit shorter than Valhalla, which I think I also put 50 hours in, and I don't think I was halfway through that game. Like,
I think I spent 60 hours in Odyssey.
Yeah.
So, I want to say Valhalla was like 80 hours.
It's
long. Valhalla is long, and that's like one. I think that might be the only one I've actually beaten. I just dug it so much that
it's great, but I did not finish it. I did not. Yeah. I think about every once in a while going back to playing it again.
You'd have to if it's been like long enough for me. I'd have to restart. Yeah.
So
it's
no way.
Yeah, I don't know where. Like, I know where I'm at in it, but it's like. And the game, you know, probably plays exactly like Shadows does.
It's just weird.
All these new ones does. But yeah, jumping back in, like, the story-wise, it's going to be weird.
Yeah.
And, like, because that one, you're trying to build up this whole village.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So.
Go ahead.
This one is, we should all play it.
I really liked it. Tony liked it.
It's on the top of my list right now, Jeff.
It is on sale currently on Xbox, but
you should get it and play it.
Not deep enough, though.
It'll be deeper.
Yeah, it was like, I think it's like $53 right now. I'm like,
no. What you do is you get Ubi Plus, because then
I guess
the whole thing for like $18. That's what I did.
True. If you want to do that, I would wait till September. Maybe like mid to late September, I think, because the DLC, it'll be coming out for that as well. And with Ubisoft Plus, you get the DLC, you get everything. It's like the whatever their ultimate version of the game is, you would just get it immediately.
And that's exactly what you need, is more content for a 50-hour plus game.
Yes.
which there's no way you got through all the content for that game. I did not.
Oh my god, no! Like, I have, I would say at least half of that objective board is still open to do. Like, there's so many people they ask you to kill, but they're not like vital to the game. It's just like, hey, here's a new quest line. Explore it or don't, but
some of those missions are cool. Some of them, let me just randomly come upon in the wilderness. You're like, oh, I'm supposed to kill this guy. Well, woe to him.
They leave the story open. Well, I guess you could make a choice and kill somebody. And I don't know how the story would end that way, but like the way I left it, there's a chance for you to like. There's a chance to continue Naoe's story in a meaningful way. So I'm like interested to see what that DLC is. Like, does it have you explore that side of it and continue on? Or is it just something completely different? I liked it. It was fun. It's a good game. It's a game that I thought I was nearing the end about 12 hours ago in it though.
And I was like, oh no, here's an entire next wheel of people you need to kill.
They give you, so that's when they introduce the Templars. It's like right towards the end of the game, and it's like, oh, you got to go kill all these motherfuckers too. And there's like 6 more hours of content that you got to chase off, and for Yasuke, and Naoe has her own like whole set of quests to go do. And what's weird is the game. So I beat the, you know, well, you don't beat the final guy. So like you beat the final guy, you and Yasuke, and then there's like another guy that's actually in charge of the big assassin, the people you got to assassinate. I don't know if there's a choice to kill him or not, but like we left him alive at the end. And but he gives you another quest to like, hey, like I'm not really the one that you're after. It's the Templars. So you go do all that stuff. But Junjiro, who's the little boy that like hangs out at your camp, and he's kind of like from the beginning of the game, he has a quest line too. And if you don't finish his quest line, the credits don't roll. So like you finish Naoe's quest, you finish Yasuke's quest, you have nothing else to do. But it's just like you're just stuck there. So I was like, what is going on? And I looked it up and they were like, you have to finish Junjiro's quests, which aren't hard. It's just like you have to travel to where he's at. You're and like, kind of like help him on that.
I just conquered everything. Like I went through all these places and killed everybody. And now I'm out here making soup.
Yes, making soup. You're like, you're helping him collect firewood or paint something. Like, what the hell is going on? Like all that stuff's nice. It's like good character work. It's just weird that it's like not identified as a main quest.
I am so glad that I did that like during the actual game as mm-hmm. like, you know, breaks. It was nice to have that kind of like flow to the story where you got something that's not so killing heavy. I can't imagine having to go through all that at the end.
So I had done like a bunch of them, but then it was like, it was like the soup quest, and then it was you had to go on like the pilgrimage. You had to go find and like you're doing this after you've like got that high of like I beat the game, I'm like I've killed everybody, we're good. And it's like no, you got to go do these weird side quests. But it's fun. Like overall, game is really good. 50 hours. I still have tons of stuff I can go do if I want to. I think I'm maybe a little burned out on it after playing like 12 hours this week. But yeah, like 40, 45, 50 hours to finish it. I think it's noticeably shorter than like Odyssey and clearly Valhalla. I think it's a beautiful looking game. Like just exploring the countryside is so nice. So
what I really want to do is compare it to the other game that's coming out.
Ghost of Yotai.
Yeah, to see like how they look next to each other. I'm sure that's got to be awesome.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. They also did a weird crossover with Dead by Daylight in Shadows. So if you talk to can't remember her name, but she's the person that owns the farm you're at. In Shadows, and that's where your base is. If you talk to her, she gives you this mission. She's like, hey, send a scout out to this town. You know, will you go take a look? So we haven't heard from the scout in weeks now. Can you go take a look? So you go out there and the entire town is just, there's nobody living in it. It's a ghost town. So you start like investigating the ghost town and it seems like there's like some sort of demon that is like has infested the town and taken all the villagers. You dig up a statue by a tree and it transports you into like this underworld type realm. And then if you've ever played Dead by Daylight, it's a asymmetrical, like one person is the killer and there's like four people that are your partners and you're trying to escape the killer. It plays that like it's just you versus the killer, but you're going and trying to like clear off these in the game I believe they're like generators, but in here it's these totems. So you're going and trying to deactivate the totems and you have to do like a quick time event at the totem while the killer is like circling this under like undertown. And if he sees you, he chases after you. And it's like really neat that they kind of created like a Dead by Daylight type gameplay scenario for this single player game. It was weird that like that was the partnership that they came up with, the crossover, but it worked. They fit it into the game nicely. So Earl has joined us. Hello, sir.
What's up?
Not much. What were you playing this week?
It's not going to sword or die death for a while. I'm hoping to wrap up most of those this weekend. But yeah, those are the big ones. So nothing too exciting, too new, too different.
Okay. We do have some news. There was a direct, a Nintendo Direct today, a partner direct, so it wasn't Nintendo games, but
it was a showcase of games that are coming out on a system at some point that existed. Yeah.
A good amount of them this year, and some for next year. They kicked it off with Monster Hunter Stories 3. That's coming next year. Also, that was announced for basically everything else as well.
Yeah, I think that's the theme we see with Xbox and Sony as well. It's like, oh, this is interesting, but it's on everything. And I mean, maybe it's for the best that the days of like the major third-party exclusives are dead. But it does not necessarily make for an interesting showcase when it's like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, I kind of like viewed it as more, oh, all right, well, like, I guess I'll play Monster Hunter Stories on PC, or I will definitely play Octopath Traveler Zero on PC. There wasn't much there that I was like, I need to play this on Switch too. like
the only difference, and it's a minor difference depending on who you are, it's like if I was to get like an Octopath Traveler, I'd probably get on the Switch too, because for me RPGs are more handheld portable centric, and that it's easier for me to kind of grind levels and stuff like that. But like some of the bigger ones, like Madden and EA FC, are more like, oh, this not run the complete ass. This is not like the mobile or Switch version. It's just like a close to parody version of that game. But yeah, it's not the most. I don't know many people who are gonna be like, oh man, I'm gonna get Madden on the Switch now.
I mean, who's gonna get Madden anyways?
I'm not gonna lie, I did think about it for a moment though. I was like, I don't really want to get Madden, but if I did want to get Madden, maybe getting it on like a handheld could be neat. And like you could have like handheld football. Yeah.
Like I said earlier in the show, like I am, I guess the opposite of you guys. I want everything on the Switch. Like I want to play the Switch. Like I'm obsessed with the console right now.
Nah, that's good. That's, I mean, especially for Nintendo.
Yeah, they got me.
Like lots of stuff that has already been out is coming, like Persona 3 Reload, Apex Legends, Star Wars Outlaws, all that stuff's coming to Switch. This year.
Which again, yeah. I think the thing I said when I finished it is that to roll out of the Switch, and we've talked about this before, it feels such fascinating in that it feels like we are a system that is 3 or 4 years into its lifespan, where like these are, I'm not going to discourage them. Everybody has their taste. These are like a lot of really good, interesting games in that, oh, I have a system what can I get to fill out the library versus this is the first year. I need a bunch of like, I need games to define the system for me. Like Monster Hunter Stories is, I mean, I think more than Monster Hunter itself, the Monster Hunter Stories are very, you know, tangential or related to Nintendo because the first two are 3DS games. Like, I do think, like, you know, like they feel like Switch games and that, like, it's Nintendo lineage that happens to be extended outwards.
Yep.
But they are not the core Monster Hunter game. They are not the Monster Hunter people we look for. So they're not big games. I would say Octopath Traveler is a Nintendo game, and like the first two were 3DS titles as well. And it feels like that, but they're not necessarily big RPGs.
They were Switch titles. Octopath and Octopath 2 were Switch titles.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Bravely Default, sorry. Yeah. Yep. But they're Switch titles. So they feel like, okay, let's continue that. But they're, again, games where it's like, oh, man, I bought Zelda, I bought Mario. What can I do next? And Bravely Default, Octopath came out.
Yep.
This is missing the Mario and Zelda part of it. And I think that's the entire first year. Like, one of the announcements was Age of Imprisonment, the new Hyrule Warriors game. And I'm like, oh, okay, it looks fun, it's interesting. There's no release date. Why are you showing this? Like, you tell me it's coming out this year, tell me a date. I need to know when this is coming out. Like, this is the first thing you're going to
look at. Oh, yeah, I didn't even realize that they didn't announce a date for it.
Nope, just winter 2025, which is still November, December, possibly January. Who knows?
Speaking of that that trailer, who are they showing at the end?
I think people are saying I could build a thing because he technically can't be in this game if it's a prequel to Tears of the Kingdom because he was missing in that time.
Okay. Yeah, so it looked like they were assembling something and I was I don't know what this is, but
like, yeah, a Mecha Inc. would make sense.
Got it.
And I think, I forgot how much we talked about it. I don't think we recorded last week. No, we did record last week.
Yep.
Like, the combination of this and, like, the Pokemon Presents, it's like, you could have made something halfway interesting to kind of combine the two, I guess. But right now, it feels like two kind of, presentations. Because even the games like Cronus, I think we had known about, but I think this is when the release date was announced. But yes. Like Cronus feels like a game very much that it's happy it's on the Switch too, that people are going to buy elsewhere.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be buying that on Switch too. I'll probably get that on like Xbox or PC.
The game I think you would maybe get on the Switch is because this feels like a Chris game, Pac-Man World 2 Repacked.
Yeah, I mean that is a me game. Like I will be getting that. Where, but yeah, a remake of Pac-Man World 2, which was a PlayStation 2 game originally, maybe also on the GameCube.
Yeah.
If it was like that era of game, that looks fun. I'll be playing that for sure. The other one that I found interesting, I don't caught it. It was right at the end, right before Octopath Traveler Zero, and I watched it after this was live, so I'd heard somebody already mention Octopath Traveler Zero, and when it got there, you know, they're showing this HD 2D game. And I didn't catch the name of it at first. Maybe they didn't reveal it till the end.
They didn't. Octopath.
Again. Yeah, I thought it was like an action adventure Octopath. It's called The Adventures of Elliot, and it is a action adventure, like an adventure action RPG in the HD 2D style. That's coming sometime next year. There's a demo out, I believe.
Yes.
So I might have to give that a try. I just thought it was neat that they're doing something different with the HD 2D style.
And it was very funny to see a lot of people kind of go on about it because so many people were like, oh, it's Octopath, but they're doing it in action RPG now. And then being like, no, this is a brand new game and here's Octopath afterwards.
Yeah. It actually the trailer for The Adventures of Elliot gave me a lot of Final Fantasy Mystic Quest vibes. But we'll see how that one is. I think that's a neat idea to do something in a different kind of style, different gameplay style. So
you've worked on this the actual style of like the HD 2D. Like, let's do something besides turn based. And like, yes, it is potential, but I do know some people are also like, are we over HD 2D? So
It's still beautiful. Like, it still looks great. We'll see how The Adventures of Elliot does. If that one doesn't do well, maybe we are over it. Pac-Man is end of September, and also Final Fantasy Tactics is end of September. So I have games to play this fall. Moving on from Nintendo, jumping over to Sony. Sony is suing Tencent.
Oh, no.
So Tencent is making a game called Light of Modern, which looks very similar to Horizon Zero. There are like prehistoric animals that are done up as mechs. The characters are dressed in kind of like Native American garb. It looks like it was, you know, very inspired by it at the very least. The whole thing gets a whole lot worse, though. Evidently, Tencent pitched Sony on making a Horizon game. And yeah, Sony was like,
"Oh no,
that's the more curious part."
Yeah, and Sony was kind of like, "Nah, like, how about not?" If you look at the link that I included in the text channel here, Sony has put together pictures of Horizon and pictures from Light of Modern. And they are like, it's kind of damning how close it looks. it's really bad. Like, there's the animals from Horizon, and there's kind of like the exact replica of them in this Tencent game. It's kind of crazy, and they are looking for one. They're trying to shut down Light of Modern. Modern, whatever it's called, completely, and they are looking for damages of up to $150,000 per infringement.
Ooh.
Of their IP on there.
Wow.
When I first heard of it, I was like, this kind of sounds a little bit like Power World, right? Like,
yeah,
the Power World Nintendo thing, but now looking at it, it's like way worse. Power World's at least something different. Like, the game is different.
It's like a DLC.
Yeah, yeah, very much.
Creatures look very similar. They move very similar. It's a very similar kind of like techno futuristic, but somehow prehistoric aesthetic.
Yep.
That is such a very distinct style.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild. That was interesting. Go ahead, Tom.
Like the Power World Nintendo one, like, there were definitely a lot of similarities, and I think in the lawsuit all those similarities got removed. Like, they literally, like, Power World was not that similar. Like, here the similarities seem to be core to the actual game.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So
Did Power World ever? Did they remove the like throwing of the ball to capture?
Yeah, it's got the throwing. It's not the capturing is fine. It's
okay.
The having the ball to launch your creature.
Oh, so throwing the ball out to have your creature come out.
Yes,
that was what they were. Huh.
Yeah, and there's a few other like really minor things that Nintendo had copyrighted, like along those lines. And so you could still go out, like, if you were to play Power World today, that you'd still catch creatures the same way. You make the little balls, you throw them at them, you catch them. But, you know, throwing out a ball to launch your pal is too much.
Got it.
But and there's also some where it's straight up looks like a Pokemon with a slight variation in either color or design. But it's
none of them were that close, honestly. None of
you again, and this is just coming from Letty. I've seen the people who posted, but there are a few that very. I think it's more like, how do I say this? Because there are certain Pokemon that like Pikachu is very iconic. There's like, yeah. But there's 1,000 Pokemon. So there's a few that kind of are in that middle realm where it's like, you may know who they are if you're really into Pokemon. And there's a few that, there's a few Palmen. Palman?
Pals.
Pals. Yeah.
That, again, based off of what I've seen in the comparisons, where it's like, oh, if this is copy my homework, don't make it too obvious.
Yes. And Tencent very clearly copied Sony's homework and made it about as like they just did a photocopy. they weren't even trying.
Yes, it was. It was not. They didn't change anything. It's exactly the same. Exactly the same. I wonder how maybe they went too far in their pitch. They're like, we designed all these assets. Now we should do something with them, even though we got rejected.
But that's probably exactly what it was, right?
It's such a weird thing because technically, if they never signed a contract, they're not copying anything. But it's like, you were close enough, so we'll see what happens a bit. So,
yep. Tencent did say they're gonna imminently release a beta version in America. So,
get what you can now. Go now. Yeah, quick, go.
Drop it out there because I'd like to download it and see how actually egregious this is. There's a new patch for Mario Kart World. I believe all of us have that. They're making the AI a little bit easier to race against. I guess specifically in 150cc mode, which I haven't played that.
I haven't played any 150. I played my kids like to play almost exclusively on 50, but they got bored, so we've moved up to 100 now.
Yeah, which is the single one. Yeah,
yeah.
I guess that's the one most people play at. Did anybody unlock the mirror mode in it? You used to have to do 150cc to do that. But I don't know how to unlock it yet. So
you have to do like a bunch of shit, I think.
I'll be playing it for the next decade, so
yeah,
at some point I'll unlock mirror mode. they also adjusted some settings, I guess, so that what they call the intermission races won't show up as much. You'll get more 3-lap races. The voting.
I was gonna say, I think it's more the opposite, like more 3-race apps will show up versus it's semantics, but like, yeah, I don't think that changes that. They're just like, yeah, because people are complaining, but it does seem like it's still a lot of, and again, I like those, I like those, like those straightaways, but some people, I think the biggest thing for me, and this is a very minor but not minor thing, is that you can now. View more than the first place player in knockout tour, because that was kind of annoying. Is like if you were knocked out, you could only see the first place player. If you're playing with your friends, you want to
who's
just around, where are you? If you're not in first, I'm just watching random strangers or whatever. So like, I'm happy that they've done that.
Yeah, I don't want to watch a random stranger. Like if I'm racing Jeff and I get knocked out, I'd rather watch Jeff than some rando.
What was the very first thing you guys said about this update? What CC do you guys play on?
Normally play on 100.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like that's just, you know, when people come over, they just pick the middle one, like the standard one.
That's not allowed.
I play by myself. I play by 150.
Yeah, it's
like 150. My kids would lose their mind. Absolutely lose their mind if we play at 150. They're like, they can't control. They can't keep their carts on the track.
Yeah, well, you get no. There's like no help either, and the AI is pretty. It's pretty rubber bandy in Mario Kart to begin with, and
it ain't shit compared to the players you'll see online, bro.
Oh no, they're fucking insane.
It's like it is like that's like practice at best. I thought I've always played 150. Like if you're at my house, we're playing 150. I ain't fucking around with anything else. Anything else feels too slow.
Yeah.
What was that? Like, what were you guys talking about in regards to the update about that?
They made the AI a little bit easier, or okay. I don't know how much easier, but
no, they're pretty aggressive. I mean, they're pretty aggressive in 150cc, but again, it's like dang shit.
So the update here just says they made a computer weaker in everything other than battle. So how much weaker, nobody knows, but they're saying that in all modes except for battle mode, it's the computer
is a little bit weaker. I kind of liked how they had it, but I guess we'll see what I think.
Yeah. I mean, mostly they just play with people. Like when I'm not racing the computer all that often by myself anymore. So, yep. So there's that. And Tony just dropped another news story in. Atari bought Thunderful, which you guys may know as the studio behind the SteamWorld games. So, like SteamWorld Build and.
Dig
and what's the other one?
Quest?
Yes. So they bought them. They've also done other games as well, but I think that's the one most people would know of. Atari's been quietly buying up some stuff. They bought Digital Eclipse, I believe, last year, the year before. They bought Night Dive Studios, who is
a big port studio, right?
Yep. They've been making a lot of, they're kind of like what's the Sony one that does the remakes?
Why did I want to say Bureau, but it's not Bureau. But I know you're talking, is it Bluepoint? No.
Bluepoint, yes. I believe that's the one. Because they're the ones that did Bluepoint. Yep, they did the Demon's Souls remake. And they did the Uncharted collection, and so like that type of stuff. So yeah, that's what Night Dive is. They've kind of been doing a lot of like remakes and stuff. So, I guess Thunderful was in trouble. So they basically bought all of it. They bought 82% of it, for the low price of $5.19 million. So that's all under the Atari brand now. So
yeah, my Atari stock is gonna go up.
I think like I don't know how much stock you have, Jeff, and I don't know exactly I don't know how well they've been doing, but I really like the moves that Atari's been making.
Do you know what their stock like I don't know, symbol or whatever, like what it is?
No.
It's Pong.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's neat. Tony, you just dropped a new news story in. What do you got here?
Microsoft announced financial numbers for how much money they've made off of Game Pass. Almost $5 billion in revenue in the last fiscal year.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's sort of like right after they announced they'd letting a bunch of people go, they released it.
Doing great,
wildly profitable. As is Microsoft, so you should own Microsoft stock, not Atari.
I think I saw today too that they're worth over $1 trillion.
Yeah,
as they're like laying off all these people.
Yeah, It's nice to see that Game Pass is making money though, because
I sometimes worry, you know, like
it's just that they're gonna so easy to get all these games for free. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Especially because they tend to back off stuff like the movie store and they just drop stuff. Zune, I have been waiting for them to looking like, oh, should we have Xbox? What would it be for us? But this stuff is good news. We want Game Pass to continue. It's the best thing in gaming. Let it keep going.
It sounds like they're getting whatever they're giving away games for free. It sounds like no, they're making fucking bank off of this.
Right, so. Exactly. And it all feels like it's free. That's the best thing. It works out for everyone because they're making lots of money. We're feeling like it's a good product that we have to have.
And yeah, like you said, it's good news because I sometimes I'm like, they're gonna fucking stop this at some point. Hopefully not. I love Game Pass.
Yeah. Oh, there are so many games on Game Pass I had never played otherwise. And when you're going through a period, you're like, I don't know what to play. And you're just like, oh, let me cycle through all these games that I have that are free. Nice to have around.
Yep. Yeah, it's just a weird time to announce that though, right? Like you just laid off 9,000 people and and then last week
they did that the same week my girlfriend was working with Microsoft on a thing and she's like, all these Microsoft people are useless. They all suck. None of them know how to do anything. Well, maybe they got laid off.
Yeah, it could be, right? Like they don't want to actually help on things. And then last week, I guess Nadal, their CEO, was talking about how we had to lay these 9,000 people off so we could strengthen ourselves for the future and our future's AI. I don't know. Maybe just don't say that after you laid off 9,000 people, even if it is your philosophy on what you're going forward.
On the other hand, you have to do them in the order that Microsoft did them. Like you can't announce, oh, we have billions and billions of profits.
Right, correct.
And then a week later be like, oh, and we're laying these people.
Yeah, you can't say it up front. No.
Yeah.
Can't win either way. So all right, well that's the news unless Earl has anything else that we missed.
Nothing's catching my eye really. I'm sure we will start wrapping up and we've got about X, Y, and Z.
Always.
Federals, Mike, quick.
Before we do wrap up, though, Earl, I think you've already seen it. Jeff watched it last week, and I watched it today. The Until Dawn movie. Briefly,
how come you don't care if I watch it, Chris?
You don't like horror films, Tony.
I don't.
you're good, Tony. Trust me.
I'm good.
Yeah. That is fair.
I mean, we will watch it at some
again.
Oh no.
We'll revisit it.
But. Technically speaking, if the three of us watch it, we can also just do that now.
Sure. If Tony doesn't ever want to watch it, we just get it out of the way.
I give it an F. All right, go.
Yeah. F. I don't know if I go F, but what did you guys think of Until Dawn?
I thought it sucked.
Okay. I mean,
I know, but it's just, I don't know, dude. Come on.
It's not the, it's certainly not the game. Like, it has nothing to do with, outside of there being Wendigos, the game, not at all.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either, but it is also not necessarily a great film. It's an interesting, again, it has something to do with the game, to your point, but it does kind of take the premise of what if you're kind of stuck in a murder death loop that changes with each decision.
Yeah, they took the idea of you playing the game, what you can do to these characters as opposed to
the game had nothing to do with that. The game did not have a time loop, right? Yeah.
No. But the other thing I would say, and I think this is why I would not make it, is that it does that, but then it kind of cheats and it, oh, this is like the 15th time we've gone through, but we've only shown you three. So here's a bunch of ones I'm not going to show you.
We're
going to
quickly show you them because we recorded them on our phone.
Yes. And that I was like, oh, this is, you set up this premise and then you cheat to get through the premise and then you rush to the finale. Like, not rush, but like, oh, I kind of get what you're going for, but it would have been nice to see a bit more of this premise, which is the most interesting thing about your movie. Because seeing people die in a horror film is not that new, but seeing them die to different types of creatures or horror movie setups could have been something novel. And you were just like, we're going to show you two or three, but this is actually, again, I don't know the exact number. It's double digits, though. But it's like, here it's like 15 times that this actually happened.
13. It's like, oh, what, how long have we been here? And the one guy goes, I don't know, five. And then the one girl goes, no, it's been 13. Go check the book. And they read it off. And I guess 13 is the number. Like, if you go past 13, like, you're stuck there. So.
Oh, yeah. Nobody's ever made it past. Because, another twist is like, one of, like, I think they were with somebody's sister, and his sister turned out to be one of the creatures.
Yep.
And then spoilers. I mean, it is a new movie, so I do feel it's also like, oh, we're also gonna tie it in Aji to the game at the end, and here's Rami Malek in a, not even a picture of him. It's a picture of him from the game.
Oh, on the board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So
weird.
But yeah, I don't think I'd go F. I would probably be going like C.
Yeah, I think I'm at C. Jeff, where are you at?
I like, as a premise, like, just looking at it as a movie.
Yeah.
Like, the premise is like, okay, this could be a fun thing, but I just felt like. And like, they tried to, like, you know, there's parts that like look like survive, you know, like found footage, or, but it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, you could have gone so much more, like, could have done like way more fun shit with it than, like, I just didn't feel like there's any, like, there's like one good kill early on where someone gets stabbed in the eye and it looked like an old school practical effect. And then, like, other than that, I started to lose interest as I went along. Like, I literally, like, could not pay attention to the movie. I kept looking at my phone. I think this is, like, super, like, mediocre, lame.
I think we're like, the reverse on this, Jeff, is, like, the beginning was just, like, super generic and boring to me, so I was just kind of, like, fucking around on my computer while it was playing.
And then sucked you in?
Like. Well, then it kind of caught my eye when they drank the water. And,
oh, and they exploding.
They explode. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
And the girl Megan, she I don't even know how it happens, but like parts of her body started exploding off of her. And I was like, oh, all right, that was kind of cool. And then I kind of like was sucked in for the last like 45 minutes or so.
It's to me very like, there's a very generic feeling to it.
And it's like bad Groundhog's Day. Like,
yeah, and just kind of not for me. And I think that's the thing,
is because, like, we've had legit horror Groundhog's Day with something like Happy Death Day, where it's like, you can...
Which I also hate.
Really?
I don't like that. I don't think I like that director. I don't know.
I adore that movie so much.
I'd say like D plus for this, or do we do pluses and minuses, or is it just two?
We have S plus for some reason. I'm not sure why.
I think because that's how video games go. Because it's supposed to be S plus A, B, C, D.
Yeah, for some reason I have it classed as S plus S A B C D F, but we don't have anything in S plus or S. No, so
I don't think it. Whatever. It's D. I give it D. You know what's funny? is that, like, I heard, you know, I went in, like, very open-minded about it, because I'd heard people who, like, don't even play video games. They're like, oh, it was an okay horror movie. It was, you know, fine. And I was like, okay, let's see. And then, like, I don't know. I literally could not pay attention to it. Like, it was that, like, uninteresting to me after a while.
All right, I'm gonna give it a C, and I think it's better than like Wing Commander and Double Dragon and Street Fighter. There were some interesting scenes. All right, so Earl and I are at C. Tony's at an F. See, he abstained, and you're at a D.
I abstained. That's what I did.
So.
You would if you saw this fucking movie.
Where do we drop this? D, C as our overall?
I think C. I mean, it's 2-1. And Tony, in this case, does not count.
How dare you?
I mean, that's fair. You know what?
I have known about this movie for minutes, and I would
just
reserve her.
I was going to mention it last night when Jeff and I were. But Earl had already said he watched it. I know Jeff's seen it. I'll watch it, and we could. I didn't intend for us to add it to our list today, but it's over now.
So. Do you want to revisit it?
You know what? No, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I will probably because I mean, by the time we do this, it'll be many, many years down the road. And I'm like, it's fresh in our mind. It's the same thing we're gonna do in a few years anyhow. So. It's fresh. We saw it. It's out there. It's on Netflix right now, which is where it came up from. That's why a lot of people are watching it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's fresh in our mind. This is really what we're gonna do. We'll watch it, review it. Like we're doing the other ones in order. This one just happens to be out right now. It is. Yeah.
I'm glad I watched it on Netflix and didn't go to the theater.
Yeah.
So. All right, well, that's Until Dawn. We'll be back next week. I don't know, maybe I'll have Ninja Gaiden Ragebound.
We can also discuss I think the first few episodes of Twisted Metal season 2.
Oh yeah, that launched today, right?
Those came out today, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so at least Earl and I will watch those before next week. So, all right. So, Twisted Metal, the TV series, and some games. And we'll be back next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Night.